two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. You can give us a call with your questions at 801-575-8255. Our phone lines are open. You can text us your questions at 57500. Tom, we wanted to start this hour and talk about easy to care for houseplants, a subject which you mentioned earlier. We've talked about this before, but Michelle, our crack producer, has found a list of these that are unusual that we haven't talked about.
The one she sent the other day, there were a few on there that I really liked. One of them that we've never talked about was Monstera, and I can't remember the common name on it. Do you have the list up? My hyperlink's not here.
I will find it. Give me a moment.
But the one on there, the Monstera deliciosa, is related to philodendrons, and it is one that can get big, really big, actually, but it's one that's also really easy to grow. And if you need something with some size, it is one that will, if you give it a big enough pot, can get easily 4 or 5 feet high.
And this is the one that has the funny leaves that look like they're, how do you describe
those? Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese leaves.
And so they, if you're familiar with philodendron, they look really similar, but the leaves are bigger, and then they have some slits and holes, and they just naturally grow like that.
Yeah, they actually call it a Swiss cheese plant here.
Yes.
Using
so,
the formal name and then calling it a Swiss cheese plant.
Yeah, and so in garden centers, I think it's a lot of times called Monstera, but it is in its native habitat. When it's grown outside, it produces an edible fruit that actually I think is quite tasty.
Oh, really?
I've seen them in Hawaii, South Florida. I know they grow in Mexico, and the deliciosa, part of the Latin name, indicates a fruit that's edible.
Right.
So that was one that I really liked on that list that is out of the ordinary of what people would usually grow.
Mm-hmm. So what does it need as far as light?
It needs full, like when I say full sunlight, off to the side of a south or a west window makes it happy, but it will grow with moderate light, say from an east window. It's actually tolerant of moderately bright light. It needs room also, because when you plant it in a small pot, it looks all nice and dainty and pretty, but it will grow. And so you will need to keep it cut back or have room for it where you have it.
And these leaves are really big. So I noticed they recommend that you have a dusting glove. I've never bought a dusting glove. Dusting glove? I can't just use my dust rack?
Yeah, if you were to go, I know when I was going to Weber State, the botany department had one of these in a classroom. And they had allowed it to grow, and it had leaves. In the classroom, they had shelves. It was a chemistry room or style. And so they had shelves surrounding the classroom, and there was 2 or 3 feet going from the ceiling down to the shelves. And they had wound this philodendron almost completely around the classroom.
Wow. Okay, next one that I haven't seen before, the ZZ plant.
This is another one that I think they've named ZZ plant.
ZZ.
The Latin name is Sisyphus. Okay. It's just really...
I can see why they picked
yes.
ZZ.
And so this is another one that's less common. You'll sometimes see it in those living flower displays you send out for like weddings or funerals.
Mm-hmm. It looks a little bit like a fern, but with wider leaves.
Yeah, it is one that is almost looks like a mix between a fern and a palm tree.
Uh-huh.
And it's another one with a really interesting leaf texture that isn't as common, but it is available. I've seen it in 2 nurseries in the last month,
mm-hmm.
and it's one that's worth trying out if you want something just different.
Mm-hmm. A ponytail palm is another one that is on this list.
Yes. Now, ponytail palm is another one I have experience with from my days back at Weber State and other areas, but it gets a bulb or a base that grows out, and it's drought hardy in its native habitat and stores water in there. But it's related to Dracaena, and so the foliage looks very similar to if you're familiar with Dracaena, it kind of weeps down a little bit, and so it looks like a mix between a palm tree and a Dracaena plant. This is another one that's not as common that is quite easy to grow.
And on this list, the one with the most interesting leaves is the prayer plant.
Prayer plant is one that I really like, and it's closer to what we would consider a traditional house plant. The leaf colors vary a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It usually has some purple in it, but it is one that it's not as common as pothos and spider plant, but the prayer plant is another one that's very available. It drapes over the side of the pot, and it is really beautiful.
This one needs a little bit more humidity, though.
It does. And so you want to put a gravel tray underneath it. So when you would purchase just an inexpensive water tray, so we've recommended putting your flower pots on top of, you know, inside of something that collects water if it's
Definitely.
Sitting so it doesn't damage. And so what you would do in that tray is just fill about 1/2 inch of gravel and just leave water in the gravel, mm-hmm. and that will provide humidity around the plant and help it.
Native to the rainforest of Brazil, so you can see why it needs some of that humidity. Why do they call it a prayer plant?
The leaf form. It kind of reminded somebody that it was in the form of praying. The leaves will roll out. They come out all rolled up, and then they fold out. Oh. And somebody thought that it was reminded them of praying.
Okay, this list is up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, complete with some beautiful pictures of these wonderful plants. Anything else interesting that stood out to you?
Well, I just, all of these, like I said, I liked this list because it was completely different than any other company's list I've seen of easy to grow stuff. It's usually Hartley philodendron, pothos, spider plant, snake plant, and these.
Which we've talked about,
yeah,
all of those.
Are very easy, and we've never talked about any of them.
Yeah. It also mentions aloe as being easy, which is really true. I've noticed that even when I've kind of put way too much water in my aloe, it'll still, if I just
yeah.
quickly empty it, it still does really
People great. Grow those, you know, especially aloe vera. There's several species, but they will grow aloe vera because this sap can help soothe sunburns and just burns in general. But a lot of health food aficionados will mix it into smoothies and things also.
I just think they're cool to look at.
Yeah.
Because they're much different than the other plants.
Yeah, they're very neat. And it's just, like I said, plants we've never really talked about. And it's just a really good list of alternatives that a lot of them, the aloe doesn't, the prayer plant doesn't, get a little bit bigger than standard house plants over time.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy smaller ponytail palms, and over 10 or 15 years, they will get bigger. But it's just an interesting kind of eclectic mix.
I also, with these aloe, they kind of make little babies off to the side.
Yes.
Can you just,
yeah.
how do you cut those off?
Just the little pups, you just scoop the soil out and put them in a new pot. You might want to cover the pot, you know, say a 2 or 3 inch pot with a plastic sandwich bag, like a Ziploc,
mm-hmm.
and put a few holes in the Ziploc. You might need to put a pencil in there to support it a little bit upright, and just let it sit for 4 or 6 weeks and it'll root out into the new soil.
Oh, okay. I like that. So you actually put it in the pot and then put the bag over
the bag over the top. And you can use a rubber band or tape to hold the bag onto the pot. And you just put the pencil inside, eraser side up, to hold the bag up so it doesn't collapse. And then use the pencil to poke several small holes in the bag for some ventilation.
All right. I need to do that. I have a couple little pups that I'd like to put in different pots. All right, the number for you to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us, 57500. Bill, you're up next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you. Phone lines are open. 801-575-8255. You can text us, 57500. Let's go to Bill, who is in Bountiful. Good morning, Bill. What is your question?
Hey, interesting question. My wife would like us to get a greenhouse, good size, like, you know, maybe 12 by 14 for our backyard. And I'm just wondering what kind of sources and things there are locally for getting like kits or something of that nature for that kind of thing.
Are you wanting to heat it and ventilate it, or are you more just doing something to start plants in seasonally?
Well, I don't think we want to heat it. If you mean like growing things over the winter, I don't think so.
Okay, because there's a distinction, and so that greenhouse becomes a cold frame and becomes a little less expensive. On what I would recommend locally, I've heard from many gardeners that Harbor Freight sells a greenhouse. They have two of them, two models, and it's the smaller one that seems to be the really sturdy one for the money.
So there are that is one of the things I'm concerned about is snow load.
Yeah, and so you may, even on some of the stronger structures, may need to brush snow off if they're not heated so they don't collapse. Mm-hmm. I did see another one in Costco in Spanish Fork a couple of weeks ago that seemed to be pretty sturdy. It was a wooden model. And so the other ones, and it's just going to, in many situations, it's going to be what you get what you pay for. And so online, there's a few greenhouse, big greenhouse websites that you can order from. But if you want a 10 by 12, you're probably going to be several hundred dollars to a couple thousand dollars for just a lower end but decent model.
Yeah, right. Okay. And actually, one of our main motivations is to keep the wildlife out of our tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now you're going to run into problems because it'll get too hot in the summer and you probably won't get a lot of fruit. And so if you're trying to keep wildlife out of the tomatoes, you may need to just spend a few hundred dollars and put an 8-foot temporary fence around the garden area. So you can go to farm stores and just get like T-posts or 4x4s. They need to be 8 feet up and just do an inexpensive surround for your garden, and that's going to be more effective at keeping the wildlife out than trying to grow in a cold frame or greenhouse because it gets too hot for them to produce.
Interesting. If they are ventilated, does that allow that to stay, you know, more cool?
Somewhat, but still too hot. And what you're probably going to have to do if you're going to grow in there is put swamp coolers in it.
Oh, I see.
And ventilate it so you have fans on, or if you have where the air can escape on one side and swamp cooler or two on the other so that you can keep it cooler.
Interesting. Okay.
You're making it more and more into a greenhouse to be able to do it.
All right. Well, I appreciate the information. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call today. Next listener, Ton, says they received peace lily from their mother's funeral 8 years ago, healthy and green, but it's never flowered again. How should they fertilize it? How do they get it to reflower?
They can be difficult to get to reflower, especially in homes, and it's usually a lack of light. The best I can really tell them is make sure that it's happy. You know, if it needs to be transplanted, put it into a new pot, fertilize it periodically with just the half-strength houseplant fertilizer or Osmoco, and put it off to the side of a south or west window and see if it will flower.
Okay. Next person would like to know, do honeyberry plants grow in this area, and is spring the best time to plant them?
So honeyberry is one of these newer kind of trendy superfood plants. They're super nutritious and taste kind of eh. You know, they're okay, but, you know, I haven't ever been like, man, I need to sit down to a bowl of honeyberries.
Now, they sound like they like honeyberries. So
yes.
Let's not be, you know, dissing honeyberries here.
Well, I love honeyberries. You should grow them all the time.
Do they grow in this area?
They do fine.
Okay.
A lot of garden centers are starting to carry a few varieties, and they take a few couple of years to get established, but they do just fine.
Spring the best time to plant?
Yes, it is. That's going to be when you're going to be most likely to find them.
Okay. The next listener says, thanks for the Saturday morning therapy. They're also wondering, with all the problems with tomatoes last year, what do you recommend?
Well, pray a lot. Get your relationship with your creator in line. No, honestly,
you always have to just throw in that little jab. It's a joke.
Never
people.
Hurts.
It's a joke.
Never hurts.
Sarcasm.
Yes.
Okay.
So what I'd recommend is just being prepared to maybe replant if something happens soon, like frost. And then I think that gardeners, and I'm being serious here, as we continue to have climate change, and again, we're not assigning blame anywhere, but it is happening. We're supposed to get warmer, but the unseasonable weather events in the spring and fall are supposed to become more common. And so that means more late frosts, transitioning into 100 degree weather. It means more early frosts, more freak rainstorms. And so I think as this goes on, that we are going to need to prepare a little bit. And so we have a video with Sheridan on low tunnels that we put together for extending the gardening season. And it's on our YouTube channel. And what I would consider doing is getting low tunnels to put the tomatoes in to protect them from frost, keep them warmer, be able to take the plastic off and transition it over to a shade cloth, a 20 or 30% shade, so that if we get into the hundreds, the tomatoes are more likely to produce. But I think that a lot of our gardening is going to need to transition into such things because of the extreme weather we've been seeing.
All right. And they want to know, in West Jordan, are determinate or indeterminate tomatoes better?
Neither. It just depends on what you're doing. Indeterminate tomatoes get big. You know, they can get 6, 8, 10 feet tall. And if you don't trellis them, they can get really just big. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our heirlooms are indeterminate. That means they keep producing a few tomatoes on new growth. And so you get fewer tomatoes over a longer period of time, to where an indeterminate is something like Celebrity, and you get a lot of tomatoes over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, and then just a few. And so it just depends on your goals. If you're trying to can tomatoes, then it may be better for you to do something like Celebrity or the BHN 1021, because you get a lot of tomatoes fast and you can be done with it. But if you want, you know, the more flavorful tomatoes, different kinds of flavors, you know, the cherry tomatoes, then those are the indeterminate. And so it just depends on the use and your goals of what you're doing.
All right. We need to take a break for the news. Number to call, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.